भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरयति नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु त्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। ज्ञानदमिलन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणीप्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासादि गौरव। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो वी विल स्टडी चैप्टर 28th। Puranjan becomes a woman in the next life. Hare Krishna. So there is an announcement or request from photography department. There is a request from photography department that please remain awake. many eyes were closed yesterday. So not good photos. Right, so and sit straight. With eyes open, they can click good photos. Till the photos are clicked at least. Yes. Okay, So we will complete chapter 28th, which is long chapter, right? But we'll complete it today because many points Prabhupada repeatedly makes in order to emphasize, right? About the entanglement of the materialistic life, about the importance of accepting spiritual master. So there are many such points repetitive. So therefore, touching upon all the main points and discussing them, we'll be able to complete the chapter. The 66 verses. Yeah. 65 verses. 65 verses of the chapter. So basically chapter is divided into 5 sections. If you see, first is Puranjan. The word Puranjan comes from, what is the meaning of the word Puranjan? Please raise hands. What's up, Prabhu? I ask those who don't raise hands sometimes. But sometimes I ask those who raise hands also. So Yes. What is the meaning of word Puranjan?
Someone who lives in body.
Okay. Yes. Who else will try? Sarvagya Kesava Prabhu, what is the meaning of the word Puranjan? One who enjoys in the body. Yes, Bhagavatacharya Prabhu. One who lives in the city. Body, city, body. Pur is. Anyway, the exact meaning is Puram Janayati Iti Puranjan. Puram Janayati means one who creates this body. That means for one's enjoyment, by one's desires, by one's actions and desires, one who creates this body. Like we are not the independent creators, but by our own desires, we give birth to so many bodies, so many cities we change, you know, whatever. We transmigrate from. This needs to be closed. Why? Acha, it's for recording reflection. Okay. And some light hair can be switched on. I feel a little dark to read. One small light on the stage. So, yes, Puram Janayati, one who creates this body by his own desires. That is Puranjan. So, the living entity creates this body, but is not the only creator or the independent creator. So the first section describes the living, we already studied, living entity enters his body, try to enjoy, and then the living entity has to leave the body. So the Puranjan's death is the first section of this chapter, 1 to 27. And Puranjan is figuratively, Puranjan represents who? Prachin Barhis, right? Prachin Barhis. Actually, the name of the king whom Narada Muni is talking is Barhishat. Right? Barhishat is how is it related to Prithu Maharaj? Barhishat? Grandson? Great grandson. Barhishat is the great grandson of Prithu Maharaj. Right? He is the grandson of Vijitashva. So he is Barhishat, but his name became Prachin Barhi. So what is the meaning of Prachin Barhi? Yes, Vamsi Krishna Guru, Prachin Barhi. Prachin is?
Old.
Okay. No, not all Hindi words map to Sanskrit like that. Prachin Barhis. How did he got the name Prachin Barhishat? His actual name was yes.
He used to conduct a lot of sacrifices, yes, for which he used to grow kusha grasses all over his kingdom.
Okay.
So from that kusha grass, he got this name Prachin Barhishat.
Yeah, because actually it's related. You're right. Prachin also refers to here the kusha grass tip pointing toward east. The tip of the kusha grass, whenever they have the sacrifices, the yajman is sitting in such a way that the tip of the kusha grasses, you know, are pointing east. So Barhish means the kusha grass, Prachin means towards east. So that means when the kusha grass is pointing towards east, sacrifice is going on. Because he performed so many sacrifices that his name became Prachin Barhish, one who is always making the kusha grass pointing east in performing so many sacrifices. So he got the name from his, like someone may have some name, but if someone eats a lot, it is a big belly, you know, Petu, you know, whatever, you know, people trying to give a name according to his, you know, gun and karma. So like that. So according to his gun and karma, according to his karma in this case, his actions, he got this name Prachin Barhish. Although his original name is Barhishat, King Barhishat. But Prachin Barhish means one who is performing so many sacrifices, that means the kusha grass is pointing towards this direction. Barhish. Barhish means kusha. Right? So that is. So And all living entities are Puranjana, as I said. So the king Barhishat, although had a great lineage, but he became like an ordinary living entity, entangled in fruitive activity. Therefore, he is compared to Puranjan, a living entity who creates this body. Right? So in this way, Puranjan dies, that's the first section. Then, because of his attachment to woman, Puranjan becomes a woman in the next life. And here, woman is referred to as king, princess Vaidarbhi, figuratively. The second section. Then, this Puranjan or woman who Puranjan who had become this woman, princess Vaidarbhi, marries another king known as Mallyadhwaj. Right? Mallyadhwaj, as we'll study, that is a opportunity, or he gets a devotee association, a devotee husband, means a spiritual master. Association of devotees, spiritual, or the association of the spiritual master. That is King Mallyadhwaj. And then there are many, so because Mallyadhwaj represents the spiritual master or the husband, so there is a full section, the fourth section, the instructions for a disciple from this example of queen and king. And the last section is, after Mallyadhwaj gives up his body, then again this Puranjan, who had become a woman, Vaidarbhi, she is left alone, and then Paramatma guides her further. That Avigyat, if you see, Vaidarbhi takes instruction from Avigyat. Avigyat is Paramatma. So in this way, the five sections of this chapter are there, which we shall study. Narada Uvacha, Sainika Bhaya Namno Ye, Barhishmandishtakarina, Prajwarakala Kanyabhyam, Vicherur Avanim Imam.
The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King Prachini Barhishat, afterward the king of the Yavanas, whose name is fear itself, as well as Prajwara, Kalakanya and his soldiers began to travel all over the world."
So, who are the soldiers of the king of Yavanas? The disease, right? So, there are various diseases, not the threefold misery as such. These are a subset of threefold miseries, but here refers to various diseases. So this Prajwar is high fever, and Kalkan is old age accompanied with high fever and various diseases. They began to travel, and you know, so Prabhupada says the period of life, the period of life just before death is certainly very dangerous. Right? Because at that time people are attacked by old age and various kind of diseases. Someone should read the last 5-6 lines of the purport. When a man is young,
he does not care for old age, but enjoys sex to the best of his satisfaction, not knowing that at the end of life, his sexual indulgence will bring on various diseases, which so much disturb the body that one will pray for immediate death. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age.
Right, so that's a very simple rule. The more one tries to enjoy in the youth, not caring for any injunction, the more that person will suffer in the old age. So that's what happens to so many people. And we had discussed that those who serve Krishna, those who follow the footsteps of Narad Muni, they don't grow old. Right? Old age only brings them closer to Krishna, gives them confidence of eternal life, assurance of eternal life, we discussed yesterday. So they don't suffer as such. Text 2. Taekada Turabhasa Puranjan Purima Nripa Rurudur Bhom Bhogadhyam Jarat Pannagapalitam.
Once the dangerous soldiers attacked the city of Puranjana with great force. Although the city was full of paraphernalia for sense gratification, it was being protected by the old serpent.
Who is the old serpent? Life here, right? Pran. So the pran vayu becomes old. It doesn't have much vitality. Right? The vital force, the pran vayu, that becomes gradually fatigued or old. So Prabhupada says that according to Vedic system, this is if you see seventh line, according to Vedic system, before coming to such a stage, one should leave home and take sannyas to preach the message of God for the duration of life. Right? Before one becomes too invalid, one should leave home. Right? Still one person has some energy in the body. So then Prabhupada points out a few lines ahead. At the present time, even the oldest man in the family does not leave home, being attracted by wife, children, money, opulence, dwelling, etc. Thus, at the end of life, one worries about how his life will be protected and how his wife will be protected and how she will manage the great family responsibilities. In this way, a man usually thinks of his wife before death. And then, consequently, what happens? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. He takes the body of a woman himself. That will be described as what happens to Puranjan. Kalkanya pi bubuje Puranjan purama balat Yaya bhibhuta purusha Sadyo nihisaratamiyat.
Gradually, Kalakanya, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana's city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes.
Okay, so the body becomes useless. So, and Prabhupada talks about the youth, first of all, that at the fag end of life, when the invalidity of old age attacks a man, his body becomes useless for all purpose. Therefore, then Prabhupada talks of the Vedic training. Right? Vedic training dictates that a man should be trained in brahmacharya. Right? That brahmacharya increases his power of the body. And then he can beget nice children, Prabhupada says. Between age 20 to 25, he can beget nice sons. Then increase the descendants. Prabhupada remarks, now female descendants are increasing because young men are very weak sexually, but they have no brahmacharya training. Okay? So in this way, so there is a verse in Mukundamala Stotra also, right, describing how the body will be transformed and it will become useless. Idam shariram parinam upeshalam. This body will transform. Idam shariram parinam upeshalam. Patante vashya shat sandhi jarajaram. Right? It will fall to the ground. And all the joints, there are hundreds and thousands of joints in the body, they all will become stiff. Shat sandhi jarajaram. Kim aushadam prichyati mooda durmate niramayam krishna rasayanam piva. He said, someone will say, but I will take medicines. He said, what medicines you talk of? Right? Kim aushadam prichyati mooda durmate. No medicine will save you actually from this terrible condition. Right? Therefore, drink the, Prabhupada says, Krishna elixir. Niramayam Krishna rasayanam piva. So that is verse of Mukundamala Stotra. Yes. Now, stronger hate doesn't as such means passion, Prabhupada clarifies. That means the man, he has practiced brahmacharya, right? So that is like a subtle strength. It is not like, one should not consider that his boy is more passionate or the girl is more passionate. Here, when a person practices brahmacharya, he has vitality in the body, that subtle energy, is preserved in the body. And then it's written, then Prabhupada says that he can beget male child. Yeah, so it's a play of many things as such. You know, it's an interplay of many things. One needs a particular karma also, you know. So many factors, this is one of the factors Prabhupada highlights. Even if one may have some karma, but he may not have, you know, the vitality in the body to do it, then also he may not get. So sometime when all the factors are favorable, then, you know, a particular action can be accomplished. Yes. Go to text 4. Tayopabhujyamanam vai yavana sarvato disham dvarbhi pravishya suprisham prardayan shakalam purim.
When Kalkanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. Then they began to give severe trouble to all the citizens.
Okay, so the diseases, they enter the body through various gates, or they are first visible at various gates. Right? Read from the third line, for example, the eyes.
For example, the eyes become so dim that one requires spectacles. And the ears become too weak to hear directly, and therefore one requires hearing aids. The nostrils are blocked by mucus, and one has to always sniff a medicinal bottle containing ammonia. Similarly, the mouth, too weak to chew, requires false teeth. The rectum also gives one trouble, and the evacuation process becomes difficult. Sometimes one has to take enemas, and sometimes use a surgical nozzle to accelerate the passing of urine. In this way, the city of Puranjana was attacked at various gates by the soldiers.
Right, so Prabhupada describes from his medical background how all the various gates are afflicted right, with various diseases in the old days. Text 5. Yes. Yeah, so all the various, the soul is there, and the other are the various, the mind, the intelligence, senses, all that are described in various residents. Right? The various senses, mind, intelligence, they have been described as also the residents over here. The working senses, knowledge gathering senses, they all become weak. Text 5. Tasyam prapidde manayam abhimani puranjana avapuru vidham stapan kutumbi mamatakula.
When the city was thus endangered by the soldiers and Kalakanya, King Puranjana, being overly absorbed in affection for his family, was placed in difficulty by the attack of Yavanaraj and Kalakanya.
Okay, so Prabhupada also says here, in when we refer to the body, we include external gross body with its various limbs, as well as the mind, intelligence, ego, and they all become weak. So the Prabhupada says the proprietor of the body, the living soul, becomes very sad at not being able to use the field of activities properly. Right? So this body and various senses, mind, intelligence, everything is like the field of activities, right? Or his family members, as described. So Prabhupada says this he compares this various diseases to be like the field of activity being overgrown by thorns and weeds. Right? When there are thorns and weeds in the field of activity, one cannot play or enjoy in the field. Right? That example Prabhupada gives us to understand this disease condition, old age. Kanyopagudho Nashtashri कृपणो विषयात्मका नष्ट प्रज्ञो हृतैश्वर्यो गंधर्व यवनैर्बलात्।
When King Puranjana was embraced by Kalakanya, he gradually lost all his beauty. Having been too much addicted to sex, he became very poor in intelligence and lost all his opulence. Being bereft of all possessions, he was conquered forcibly by the Gandharvas and the Yavanas.
Who are the Gandharvas and who are the Yavanas? Day and night, Gandharva and Yavanas. No, I'm saying Gandharva and the Yavanas. What does Yavanas, the Yavanas represents? The soldiers. Yeah, they are the soldiers of Bhaya. The various diseases which cause Bhaya. The Yavana represent the Bhaya. As such, right? Yavana represent the fear, Bhaya. The Gandharva represents? Yeah, that is there. That was like the time factor of that, but if you see, as far as the quality is concerned, that soldiers were there, just like the here the Yavan represent the Bhai, the Gandharva, it was mentioned about the Gandharva and the Gandharvis, not day and time, but otherwise, we also read Gandharva refers to the illusory things, right? Gandharvas, that quality of illusion. The Yavanas represent the quality of Bhai and Gandharva also represent the quality of illusion. We have studied, if you see clearly, carefully. So he is overcome by the soldiers who cause fear and illusion, basically. Text 7. Vishidnam so purim viksha pratikulan nadritan putran putranu gamatyan yayam chagata sohridam.
King Puranjana then saw that everything in his town was scattered and that his sons, grandsons, servants and ministers were all gradually opposing him. He also noted that his wife was becoming cold and indifferent.
Okay, so in the old age, he is no longer the commander of the house, right? As Prabhupada describes, he may be very earlier commanding everything. As Prabhupada said, if you see the fifth line, they no longer are under the command of the master of the house. Right? And then Prabhupada says, just as we wish to use our senses for sense gratification, the senses also require strength from the body in reciprocation. A man keeps a family for enjoyment and similarly family members demand enjoyment from the head of the family. When they do not receive sufficient money from him, they grow disinterested and ignore his commands or desires. Right? So as long as he is maintaining their sense gratification, they are also being maintained as long as he is giving sense gratification to them. When he is unable to give, they also disobey him. Right? So material world, this law operates. And then Prabhupada calls such a person as Kripana, miser. Right? Definition of miser, Krishna Bhakt Prabhu, how does Prabhupada describe miser? So how is miser? For lower purpose, basically. So he doesn't make a full utility of he has a great asset, but he just doesn't use it for the right purpose, right cause. So therefore he is a miser. So anyone who doesn't worship the Supreme Lord, doesn't use this body for self-realization, has always been called as Kripana. Who is the opposite of Kripana?
Brahmana.
Text 8. Atmanam kanyagrastam
Atmanam kanyagrastam
పంచాలాన్ హరి దూషితాన్ దురంత చింతాం ఆపన్నో నాలేభే తత్ ప్రతిక్రియాం.
When King Puranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was thoroughly overwhelmed by Kala Kanya.
Okay, so Duranta Chintam Apanno, he became very anxious. Na lebhe tat pratikriyam, but there is no solution. You know, so the person becomes so, actually, imagine a person, you know, who has been at command, now he wants to do something, can't do anything. You know, becomes very helpless. It's a very, therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, the Ramani Jana Sangha Sukham Cha Sakhe Charame Bhayadam Purushartha Haram. He says this, the attachment to women, association of women leads to a very fearful situation, very helpless situation, charame bhayadam, right? A person then, he just caught up, he wants to find out solution, you know, has been very commanding, can't find out any solution. Na lebhe tat pratikriyam, he's being neglected, he's being treated badly, right? He was like master of the house, so in a very helpless condition. So this is like the result of attachment to women. Read what Prabhupada says in the purport.
When a person becomes weak from the attack of old age, the family members, servants and secretaries do not care for him. He is then unable to counteract this. Thus he becomes more and more anxious and laments his frightful condition.
Right. So it's a very frightful condition. Text 9. Kama Nabhilashandino యాతయామాస్ చకన్యా విగతాత్మ గతి స్నేహ పుత్రదారాం శలాలయన్.
The objects of enjoyment became stale by the influence of Kalakanya. Due to the continuance of his lusty desires, King Puranjana became very poor in everything. Thus, he did not understand the aim of life. He was still very affectionate towards his wife and children, and he worried about maintaining them.
So Prabhupada says, this is exactly the position of present civilization. Right? Although he is neglected, he still remains very affectionate, and he continuously worries, how will they be maintained without him? They don't give any damn to him. But he is considering how will they be maintained without him. Right? So his continues under, you know, this illusion continues as such. Then Gandharva Yavanakrantam Kalakanyopamarditam Hatum Prachakrame Raja Tampurim Anikamata.
The city of King Puranjana was overcome by the Gandharva and Yavana soldiers. And although the king had no desire to leave the city, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kalakanya.
Okay, he didn't want to leave the city, but he was forced to do so. The city was being smashed by Kalakanya, the old age. Right? So, Prabhupada says in the 7th or 8th line, every living entity according to karma, his past desire and activities gets a particular type of body, from that of Brahma to that of a microbe or a germ in the stool. Due to long association with a particular type of material body and also due to the grace of Kalakanya and her maya, one becomes overly attached to a material body although it is the abode of pain. Then Prabhupada gives two examples. And how living entity becomes so attached to this body, although it's a source of pain, living entity doesn't want to lose it. Prabhupada says, if a worm from a stool is taken away, the worm will crawl back to the stool. It doesn't want to leave. Right? Similarly, Prabhupada gives the example of a pig. right? The hog. Similarly, a hog generally lives in a very filthy state, eating stool. But if one tries to separate it from its condition and give it a nice place, the hog will be unwilling. Right? The hog will be unwilling. In this way, if we study each and every living entity, we will find that he will defy offers of a more comfortable situation. Right? Why? Because of his long association with a particular type of body. Because of the illusion. Right? So Prabhupada also makes the same question in the next paragraph. If you see next paragraph middle, Prabhupada says, although material existence and material body are not comfortable, why does the living entity not want to leave? Prabhupada himself raised the questions. Right? Why does the living entity not want to leave? And he answers few lines ahead, 3-4 lines ahead. Because the living entity does not hope to enter the spiritual kingdom of eternal life, bliss and knowledge, he wants to stick to his present body, even though it may be useless. Right? Because of ignorant living entity, no knowledge of a superior position. Right? Living entity always has this fear that, you know, I lose this, I don't know what will I get. Right? There's always an insecurity. So even the worm in the stool is insecure, right? If he goes out of this, you know, you don't know where, whether he'll get that kind of enjoyment or not. So like that. So because of having no knowledge of a superior destination, living entity doesn't want to give up this material situation, which is quite uncomfortable. Right? Text 11. Bhaya naam no grajo bhrata prajvara pratyupasthita tadahatam purim krishnam bhratu priya cha kirshaya.
Under the circumstances, the elder brother of Yavanaraj, known as Prajvara, set fire to the city to keep his younger brother, please his younger brother, whose other name is Fear itself.
Okay, so he sets fire to the city. That means the temperature, as Prabhupada described, goes very high. How much? 107 degrees. 12. Tasyam sandahiya manayam sopaura sa parichada kautumbika kutumbinya
Upatapyata sanvaya. When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants of the king, as well as all family members, sons, grandsons, wives and other relatives, were within the fire. King Puranjana thus became very unhappy.
Okay, so all the various parts of the bodies Prabhupada described, they were considered as various family members, as we discussed. And they all were suffering. Prabhupada says sometimes the fiery condition is so acute that one goes into coma. Okay. And lastly, Prabhupada says, thus a person in ignorance, not knowing anything about his own future life, is certainly defeated in all his activities. Thirteen. Yavano paruddhaya yatno grastayam kalakanyaya purayam prajvara samshrishta purupalo anvatapyata.
The city's superintendent of police, the serpent, saw that the citizens were being attacked by Kalakanya, and he became very aggrieved to see his own residence set ablaze after being attacked by the Yavanas.
Right, so the life heir, also who is described as the city superintendent of police, the serpent. So now this serpent, although here, Prabhupada described that there are two kinds of bodies, one is the gross and the subtle. at death the gross body is finished, but the living entity is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. Although the subtle body also feels the pain, right? The subtle body, actually, although subtle body is also pained, but subtle body is not destroyed. Gross body is only destroyed. Right? So Prabhupada will give the example in the next purport. Just like there is a forest fire, then the, you know, Prabhupada writes in the next purport, it becomes very difficult for snakes to leave the forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpent only being able to crawl are generally burnt in the fire. In the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as a live fire. So live fire, burnt hair means the live fire suffers the most, right? Not as other limbs. Anyway, let's read that. So the snake suffers the most due to the fire. The live fire suffers the most. Nashe keso vitum tatra puru krichoru vepathu gantu mechatato vriksha otarad ivasanalat.
As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to leave when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat.
Okay, so the life here suffers and the life here tries to leave. You know, it's like in the cavity, it's in the snakes try to run away from the cavity if the forest is on fire. So the life here wants to leave in this condition. So the life here, the subtle body and the soul, they go together, as we shall study. Right? The subtle body with the subtle senses. The life here, the subtle body with the subtle senses, and the spirit soul, they all live together from the body. Text 15. Shithala vaya vyoyarhi gandharvair hita paurusha Yavanair Aribhirajan Upuruddhor Rodha.
The limbs of the serpent's body were slackened by the Gandharvas and Yavana soldiers who had thoroughly defeated his bodily strength. When he attempted to leave the body, he was checked by his enemies. Being thus baffled in his attempt, he began to cry loudly.
Right? So the life here wants to leave, like a snake wants to leave when the tree is on fire, but it's not so easy to leave. Right? There is a lot of pain. Lot of pain. So therefore he said he is being checked. It's not that the life here can just leave like that. There is a huge amount of pain. So therefore it's not easy to escape the pain of death. Life here has to leave, but it has to suffer a lot of pain. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse, Krishna Tudiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantham. He said when there will be so much of pain at the end, remembrance of Krishna will be very difficult. Right? Therefore, when one is strong, he can practice remembering Krishna. Text 16. Bhitra putra potram sa jami jamatra parshadan sutva vashitam yatkinchit grahakosha parichadam.
King Puranjana then began to think of his daughters, sons, grandsons, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, servants and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia and his little accumulation of wealth.
Okay, so Prabhupada says it is not infrequent for a person overly attached to the material body to request a physician to prolong his life, at least for some time. If the so-called scientific physician is able to prolong one's life for a few minutes through the use of oxygen or other medicines, he thinks he is very successful in his attempt. although ultimately the patient will die. This is called the struggle for existence. 17. Aham mameti swikritya graheshu kumatir grahi tadyo pramadayadino viprayoga upasthite.
King Puranjana was overly attached to his family and conceptions of I and mine. Because he was overly attracted to his wife, he was already quite poverty stricken. At the time of separation, he became very sorry.
Okay, so because of this conception of I and mine, he became very poverty stricken. It is clear in this verse that at the time of death, thoughts of material enjoyment do not go away. This indicates that the living entity, the soul, is carried by the subtle body. Few lines ahead, Prabhupada says, he still makes intellectual plans to further his existence. And therefore, although he gives up the gross body, he is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. Right? So he said, so it is very important here in Prabhupada mentioned that even though the material body is now getting finished, plans are all intact. Material plans never finish. Right? Plans keep growing only. Body is getting finished, but material plans continue as it is. Right? Therefore, he has to take another body as per all the plans. Right? So, in this way, living entities continue to plan. So unless, it is very important, I had once gone to one devotee's house, he was retired. I said, your children are settled, you are now retired. You have so much time now to, you know, to serve, to read. I was thinking I will ask him to join Vidyapeet now. You can also come and attend Vidyapeet. So I was saying, you have so much time, you know. He said, oh, time is there, you know, but there are so many concerns, you know. About the grandchildren, about the money which we have earned, how will that be invested, right? And the concerns about the body, the health, right? So many. So he was saying, actually, you are right, but you know, the although things to be settled, but there are so many material concerns. He was himself admitting that the material concerns have not reduced, you know. Although now the body is going away and most of our responsibilities towards children have been performed, but our material concerns have not reduced. So they keep changing from one situation to another. Right? So the whole thing is that even if the material body is falling apart, right, at the fag old age, still all the material concerns or material plans remain intact. So the whole point is not that with the change of situation, our material concerns or material plans will go away. They will also keep changing. Right? So unless one makes a conscious effort to be free from and to give away all the plans, you know, and mainly focus on Krishna, by its own this never happens in due course of time. The material plans, material concerns, simply they go on intact or rather go on increasing. As such. Therefore, the living entity, as Prabhupada says in the end of the first paragraph, the mental activity of the living entity obliges him to accept another gross body and continue his material existence. Lokantaram gatavati mayyanatha kutumbini vartishyate katham tvesha balakananu sochati.
King Puranjana was anxiously thinking, alas, my wife is encumbered by so many children. When I pass from this body, how will she be able to maintain all these family members? Alas, she will be greatly harassed by thoughts of family maintenance.
Right? So he is so concerned, I'll go away. Mayyanatha Kutumbini, my wife will remain alone. How will she maintain, you know, all the family matters, right? Etc. So in this way he means concerned about all this. 19. Namai anashite bhunkte nashnate snati matpara mai rushte su santrasta bhartshte yatva yatvaghayat.
King Puranjana then began to think of his past dealings with his wife. He recalled that his wife would not take her dinner until he had finished his, that she would not take her bath until he had finished his, and that she was always very much attached to him, so much so that he would sometimes become angry and chastise her, she would simply remain silent and tolerate his misbehavior.
Okay, so he was remembering, so this is Vedic wife, right? He he's remembering, you know, Vedic times, that he recalled his wife would not take her dinner until he had finished his, right? Now the husband serves the wife dinner first, right? So anyway, whatever it is. Nowadays, husband will remember, oh, she would always wait for me to come and serve the dinner to her. Right? So like, you know, but whatever, attachment remains, either way. Right? So, Prabhupada says, you know, like, you may say, Prabhupada actually had glorified, you know, such a wife in one sense. If the wife is submissive, etc. Prabhupada has glorified such a wife. Right? But, that is only, remember, that's a good support. But if a person becomes attached, then what is the use of that support? Right? So therefore, Prabhupada in this purport also says, for a family life, it is very good for a husband to be attached to his wife. Right? His wife was very submissive, was attached, very good from the only social perspective. But it is not very good for spiritual advancement. Right? However, if a husband and wife are very much attached to one another in Krishna consciousness, if Krishna becomes the center, yeah, then they will both benefit because Krishna is the center of their existence. So this natural attachment, if centered around Krishna, can actually help both. Right? So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, husband and wife are attracted to each other and continue to serve Krishna and inspire each other. That attachment becomes positive actually. It gives a positive result. Right? They both can help and assist each other as such. Prabodhayati mavigyam yushite shoka karshita vartmaitad grahamediyam veerashur apineshyati.
King Puranjana continued thinking how when he was in a state of bewilderment his wife would give him good counsel and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs.
Okay, so his material concerns continue. Although he said the sons were grown up and fully capable, but he still had his own material concerns born of his attachment. So, Prabhupada quotes this verse twice in the purport. Mave mamsho jiva loke jiva bhut sanatana mana shashtani indriyani prakriti sanikarshati. Describing that how the living entity struggles very hard with the six senses. Okay. So what is the cause of living identity struggle? Right? It is his, as Prabhupada points out in the fifth line of the next paragraph, in this material world of conditional life, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord, the individual soul, is struggling due to contaminated mind and consciousness. Right? So this consciousness of Puranjan, Prabhupada relates this consciousness, how will she be maintaining, you know, all the grown-up sons and everything is there, but his own attachment and his own contaminated mind and consciousness is a cause of living entity struggle for existence, which is described in Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Bhavayam Amsho Jiva Loke. Okay, so then Prabhupada further describes, again if you see toward the end of the second paragraph, he again quotes this verse. Now this is 10th last line of the same paragraph. When the mind and senses are engaged in material activities, one has to continue his material existence and struggle to attain happiness. In each and every life, one is engaged in the struggle to become happy. Actually, no one in this material world is happy. But the struggle gives a false sense of happiness. Very important word. A person must work very hard. When he attains the result of his hard work, he thinks himself happy. Right? So, the happiness is like a person works very hard and he carries the burden. You know, so the ass is sometimes made to carry a lot of burden. So the ass, when he successfully carries all the burden from one place to another, he becomes very happy that today I have accomplished something great. Right? So he considers his struggle, right, hard struggle, if he is able to work very hard and get a meager result, you know, or whatever, he considers himself to be a great accomplisher. Right? So actually no one is happy in this material world, but the struggle gives a false sense of happiness. The struggle gives a false sense of happiness. Right? Prabhupada also compares that in one of the purports, that how like one senior brahmachari was sharing, one brahmachari was looking very happy in the ashram. Someone asked, you are looking very happy today, you are looking very effulgent today, looking very confident today. What is the special, you know, please share. He said, I have cleared my stomach very nicely today. Right? So that is the standard of happiness in the material world. If someone has cleared his stomach nicely, he considers himself to be great accomplisher. Right? Because it's a hard struggle. Right? So that's what Prabhupada is saying. The struggle gives a false sense of happiness, right? If someone has this hard struggle, but someone is able to struggle, you know, and accomplish task like cleaning the stomach nicely, he feels himself to be very happy. Right? This is the standard of happiness. Therefore, it is no happiness actually, Prabhupada is saying. So all a false sense of happiness in this material world. And then how the living entity is carried by the life air. Right? So here the life air, also in the last paragraph, Prabhupada compares the life air to be like the wind. Right? So the life air is like the wind. It's like the wind carries the various aromas, sometimes good and sometimes pleasant, sometimes unpleasant. Similarly, the life air from this body carries all the impressions of the body. Right? So whatever contaminated mind, intelligence, all those impressions are there, they are carried by the life here. That is also described in 15.8 verse of Bhagavad Gita in the last paragraph. Right? So the struggle for existence continues. The life here carries all the impressions, and again the struggle for existence continues. कथम नु दारकादीना दारकिर्वापरायणा वर्तिष्यन्ते मयि गते
King Puranjana continued worrying. After I pass from this world, how will my sons and daughters, who are now fully dependent on me, live and continue their lives? Their position will be similar to that of passengers aboard a ship wrecked in the midst of the ocean.
Right. So he considered himself to be a big, very competent captain of the ship. Right. And he said they will be like aboard a ship without him, which is like in the middle of the ocean, and the ship is without the captain, or a ship is wrecked. Right? She was breaking apart like that. So in this way, Prabhupada is describing how, because of this attachment, he is born again. And Prabhupada describes also that politicians, he compares, brings a comparison with the politician. So many politicians are also worried about their nation, just like Puranjana is worried about his family members. Politicians are worried about their nation, if you see. Similarly, second line, a politician also worries about what will happen to his country. And then Prabhupada says, again, he is born in the same land of birth. Right? And he continues his, after the end of his political career. But what body he will get, that is not assured. Text 22. Evam kribanaya buddhya sochantam atadarhanam grahitam kritadhirenam bhaye nama bhepadyata.
Although King Puranjana should not have lamented over the fate of his wife and children, he nonetheless did so due to his miserly intelligence. In the meantime, Yavana Raj, whose name was fear itself, immediately drew near to arrest him.
Prabhupada says, this is the disease of the conditioned soul. Right? In the fourth last line of the first paragraph, this is a disease of conditioned soul. Not only does he commit sinful activities for his own sense gratification, but he accumulates great wealth to leave behind so that his children may also gorgeously arrange for sense gratification. And then Prabhupada very beautifully calls that point, the death as the ultimate God realization for the atheists. Right? So the atheists, they don't believe in God, right? But Prabhupada says death is the ultimate God realization for the atheist. If you see the second paragraph, fourth line, since death must take away the living entity without hesitation, it is the ultimate God realization of the atheist. That they will realize God when he comes as death. Right? Or they will realize his power. Earlier they would consider themselves to be God and, great accomplisher. But when they will finally fall flat down, right, they will surrender to death. Right, and then they will realize the supremacy of God. And Prabhupada talks about the word atad arhanam. In the word used, sochantam atad arhanam. Right? Atadharanam means which he should not have. So if you see in the middle of the, or in the eighth line of the purport, in this word the word atadharanam is very significant, for it means one should not be overly engaged in welfare activities for one's family members, countrymen, society and community. Right? It's the word overly engaged is important. Finally, Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness movement, last four lines, however, is educating people throughout the world and informing them how to conquer death. Harim vinana smritim taranti. One cannot conquer death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pashuvid yavanairesha Niyamana sukam shayam. Anvadravan anupatha. Sochanto brishamatura.
When the Yavanas were talking, when the Yavanas were taking King Puranjana away to their place, binding him like an animal, the king's followers became greatly aggrieved. While they lamented, they were forced to go along with him.
Right. So here, their followers refers to the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, ego, and the subtle senses also go along with the life here. So all are the followers that go along with the living entity. 24. Purim vihaya upagata upuruddho bhujangama yadatam mevanupuri shirna prakritim gata.
The serpent, who had already been arrested by the soldiers of Yavanaraj and was out of the city, began to follow his master along with the others. As soon as they all left the city, it was immediately dismantled and smashed to dust.
Okay, so when the living entity Puranjan left along with the followers, right, along with the serpent, the life here, then the body, the city was immediately dismantled and smashed to dust. Right? And Prabhupada quotes this saying, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shall return. Right? The first paragraph, last 3-4 lines. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse from 1084:13. Those who are overly attached to the body, they are like cow and an ass. Right? They are devoid of intelligence. Vikrishyamana prasabham yavanena baliyasa namindattamasa vishta sakhayam suhridam pura.
When King Puranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the super soul.
Okay, so although he's being dragged, still he sakhayam suhridam pura, he could not remember the Supreme Lord who is sitting behind him. Right. So Prabhupada says in the middle of the second paragraph, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, will give us immediate relief from all hardships offered by material nature if we simply surrender to him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. And unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 26. Tam yagya pashavonena samgyaptaye dayaluna kutharas chishiddu kruddha smaranto mivamasyatat.
That most unkind king Puranjana had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with his horns. It was as though he were being cut to pieces by axes.
Okay, so what Narad Muni had described, right, or is that how when Puranjan, or is still describing the story, when Puranjan left the body, then all those animals, right, he had told the king Barishat in the beginning, look, for what purpose are you performing all these activities? Look, all the animals you have killed are ready. Right? He has told Barishat. And now he's telling that Puranjan, when he left the body, he was pierced with the iron-like thorns of all the animals who were killed by him. And Prabhupada says, the word mamsa, ma'amsa means you will eat me. Right? Now I am killing you, you will eat me in the future. Or meat means me eat. Right? You eat me up, now I am eating you. Right? So that Prabhupada gives that meaning in the purport. 27. Anantapare tamasi. Magno nashta smriti sama. Shashvatir anubhuyartim. Pramada sanga dushita.
Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Puranjana eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance for many, many years.
Alright, so Anantapare Tamasi Magno Nashta Smriti Sama. So he is. Anantapare is unlimited, expensive. Tamasi means material existence of darkness. Magno. So he is a person in this way, one who is desiring enjoyment, Pramada Sangha Dushita, a person who wants to enjoy that enjoyment centered around women, family life, he is cast into or he is drowned into the ocean of darkness. Anantapare tamasi magno nashta smriti sama. Right? And he is bereft of all nashta smriti, bereft of all good intelligence. Shashvatir anubhuyartim. Right? Shashvatim Prabhupada's translated as practically eternally. Anubhuya artim. Artim means threefold miseries. In this way, he like suffers endlessly. Right? Being this is a important verse. It describes like this is the last verse of this section. In this way, a living entity who wants to enjoy the enjoyment centered around the women, he is cast into the ocean of nisains and he suffers unlimitedly. Shashvatir anubhuya artim. He experiences unlimited suffering. Right? So in the Anadi Prabhupada quotes this. In the first paragraph, Prabhupada describes the first two lines, Anantapare tamasi magno nashta smriti sama, right, by quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In the second paragraph, Prabhupada describes Shashvati ranubhuya artim. Right, someone read the second paragraph.
Because of my past fruitive activities, I have now fallen.
No, second paragraph is material existence.
Okay. Material existence is always full of anxiety. People are always trying to find many ways to mitigate anxiety, but because they are not guided by a real leader, they try to forget material anxiety through drinking and sex indulgence. Foolish people do not know that by attempting to escape anxiety by drink and sex, they simply increase their duration of material life. It is not possible to escape material anxiety in this way.
Right, so Shashvatir Anubhuyartim is an important word. Endlessly he keeps suffering. Whatever solution he finds only increases his suffering. Same thing is said by Prahlad Maharaj also. Dukhaushadam tadapi dukkham tadhiyaham. Dukhaushadam, whatever aushadi he takes only increases his disease. In the material world, dukhaushadam, whatever remedies he brings to his artim, to his distress, only increases his distress. Right? Then what does Prahlad Maharaj say? Human Brahmami Vadame Tav Dasya Yogam. This is 7.9.17. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj says, therefore, O Lord, please instruct me in your Dasya Yoga. Right? Human Brahmami Vadame Tav Dasya Yogam. This is a beautiful verse by Prahlad Maharaj. Please let me practice Dasya Yogam. Right? So this is like Bhagavatam classes are Dasya Yogam classes in one sense. Right? There's the yoga which can help a living entity get the actual solution. Otherwise, all material solutions are simply cause another problem. Dukkhaushadham tadapi dukkham. And then in the next paragraph, third paragraph, Prabhupada talks about the fourth line of the purport. Pramada sangha dushita. Pramada sangha dushita. The word Pramada sangha dushita indicates apart from all other contamination, if one simply remains attached to a woman, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's material existence. Right? So consequently, Prabhupada says Vedic civilization trains a person to give up attachment to women. Right? Even if he is not having any other contamination, he may not be eating meat, may not be gambling, may not be having bad habits. Right? But if he is just attached to women, that one attachment, Prabhupada says, is sufficient. Okay, so that's the like the first big section of Puranjan quits his body, and we'll continue. We can take a break for 10 minutes. Tameva manasa grihanan babuva pramadottama anantaram vidarbhasya rajasimhasya veshmani. Okay, so now the second section describes how the living entity goes to the next body. Now he gets the body of a woman who was but born in the again king's house. Right? So then Prabhupada mainly describing the purport that although he had become attached, but since he was religious, so he got another body, woman's body, but in a nice setting. Again born in the daughter of the king. So Puranjan was born in the daughter of the king. So if you see, Prabhupada says in the second paragraph in the middle, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, karma karmana deva netrena chantur deho upapattyate, right? A living entity acts piously and impiously, and sometimes in both ways. All actions are taken into account, and the living entity is offered a new body by his superiors. So, because Puranjan had performed many religious activities, right? He had performed impious also, but he had performed many pious activities also. Therefore, he gets a body which is conducive. Right? Body which is conducive. So, text 29. Upayeme virrepanam Vedarbhim malayadhvaja युधि निर्जित्या राजा राजन्यन राजन्यान पांडया परपुरंजया.
It was fixed that Vaidarbhi, daughter of King Vidarbha, was to be married to a very powerful man, Malayadhvaja, an inhabitant of the Pandu country. After conquering other princes, he married the daughter of King Vidarbha.
Okay, so there was a king Malayadhvaj. So the Malayadhvaj here refers to a nice devotee who is like a sandalwood. Right? So the king was a devotee. So here Malayadhvaj refers to a nice devotee who is like a sandalwood. Okay? As Prabhupada says in the 7th or 8th line, first paragraph, the name Malayadhvaj signifies a great devotee who stands as firm as Malaya hills. So both way, a devotee who is very firm in devotional and is also very fragrant. Right? So a firm and fragrant devotee, that is Malayadhvaj. Okay, so therefore Prabhupada mainly explained the term Malayadhvaj in this, and in the second paragraph Prabhupada explained the term Pandya and Parapuranjana. So the Pandya means now she is married to this king who in whose kingdom there is spiritual knowledge. Pandya. words come from the Panda means knowledge. So therefore there is a facility for further spiritual knowledge in this kingdom. And Para Puranjaya, Prabhupada explained, Par means transcendental and Pur means city. The word Par Pur is Vaikuntha and Jaya means to conquer. Therefore now this Malayadhwaj, because they are devotee, therefore he has conquered the kingdom of God. Right? Conquered means he is qualified to enter into kingdom of God. So therefore now she gets the she gets a qualified husband, or in the spiritual sense, because living entity had performed pious activities, in due course of time, by good fortune, a living entity may get a spiritual master. Right? Like Brahmanda Brahmati, Kaun Bhagyavan Jeev. So because of his various activities, religious activities, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. So one may get the association of devotees and the guidance from spiritual master. So that now the living entity gets that. That is being described. 30th. Tasyam sa janayam chakra. Atmajam asitekshanam. Yaviyasa saptasutan. Saptra dravida bhubhrata.
King Malayadhwaja fathered one daughter who had very black eyes. He also had 7 sons who later became rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus there were 7 kings in that land.
Right, so now king, now what does now the Puranjan would become a woman, Vaidarbhi? She got a daughter and 7 sons. Now here the daughters, that is a daughter was Asitikshanam, right? Asitikshanam, who had a black eyes or blue eyes. So Vishnu Thakur says this also means that this girl who had received the glance of Krishna, right? Who had received the glance of Krishna, Asitikshanam, right? Krishna's glance also has been described, who has received the glance of a person who is black, you know, Asitikshanam. So basically, this daughter represents bhakti. So by having a proper devotee association or having a proper spiritual guru in the next life, she receives bhakti as such. Right? Or actually it is described that it means to receive a taste for serving Krishna. Exactly. So this daughter represents actually taste for serving Krishna. Right? Ruchi as such. Ruchi. And the 7 sons mentioned here who ruled over the Sapta Dravid, right? The 7 sons are the out of the Navavida, the 7 Sapta Vida Bhakti, out of the 9, the 7. Right? So what are the 9 processes of devotional service? Shavanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. So if you leave the Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam, the 7 up to Dasyam. Right? So up to Dasyam, the 7 are considered to be Vaidhi Bhakti, under Vaidhi Bhakti. And other 2, Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam, are considered to be Raganuga Bhakti. There is this division. So therefore, now from the taste, right? And she, the Vaidarbhi also, she got the taste from Malayadhwaj, from devotee association. And she also got this opportunity for this sevenfold devotional service. Because the other 2 comes at a later advanced stage, that has been described. Okay. And why they mentioned that the seven sons ruled Dravid Desh? Because it is mentioned in the scripture that the southern provinces are renowned for performance of bhakti. And many Vaishnavas appeared on the banks of Kaveri and southern provinces. They are renowned for performance of bhakti. Therefore mentioned that they ruled, seven sons representing seven limbs, they ruled over Dravid Desh. Ekakasyabhavatesham Rajan Arbudam Arbudam Bhokshate Yad Vamshadharair Mahi Manvantaram Param.
My dear King Prachini Bharishat, the sons of Malaya Dhwaja gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons, and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan and even afterward.
So now these further seven sons gave birth to many thousands of sons. So therefore Vishnu Thakur has described, and Prabhupada also writes, that these processes, seven processes of devotion service, are further divided and subdivided. Just like he says, hearing, right, Sharavanam is divided, hearing of Lord's name, pastime, qualities, of so many different kind of avataras, right? So there is a, and of, in various kind of rasas, right? According to the various rasas, according to various avataras, according to the various qualities of the Lord, this one hearing aspect divided into thousands of, there would be thousands of hearing, right? Someone may likes to, you know, hear classical kirtan, someone may like to hear rock kirtan, different rasas. Someone may likes to hear about a particular avatara at particular pastimes. You understand? So in this way, different, each activity is divided into thousands. It said, therefore, they all together, all these various activities of devotional service, they protect this planet. Right? Actually, all the planets, that's the main, you know, the force which is sustaining all the planets, because they're a devotional service. And Prabhupada also gives a beautiful purport in the second paragraph of the purport of 31. He says, among Vaishnavas there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity, but despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. Right? So that, you know, different people may have different inclination, different flavors, taste, etc., but they all should continue to propagate Krishna consciousness as such. Right? So therefore, he gives a beautiful purport. And then, it's mentioned, yeah, And Prabhupada also talks of the four sampradaya in the purport, which are distributing this various forms of devotional service. Right? Concluding the purport by saying, all these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely, right? The various devotees in various sampradayas, and giving protection to the innocent people who are being so much embarrassed by pseudo avatara, swamis, yogis and others. Okay, so these various limbs of bhakti in its various manifestations, various flavors, are actually giving protection to the people, right, of this world. 32. Agastya praga duhitaram Upayame dhrita vratam Yasyam dhrita chito jata. Idmava atmajo muni.
The great sage named Agastya married the first born daughter of Malaya Dhwaja, the avowed devotee of Lord Krishna. From her, one son was born, whose name was Dhritachyuta, and from him another son was born, whose name was Idmavah.
Okay, so now further it be described that this daughter was of Puranjan was, what is the name of the daughter of Puranjan? Daughter of Puranjan from Malayadhvaj, what was her name? Asitekshana. Asitekshana means she had received the glance of Krishna, right? And she represents the taste, Ruchi. Right? So this Ruchi was married to Agastya. Right? It's quite complex allegory, right? Narad Muni, very genius. Like he expands this allegory like anything. So he says, now this daughter, the taste, when a person achieves the association of spiritual master, he achieves taste, right? And the other seven sons were the seven limbs of bhakti. So this taste was married to Agastya. Agastya represents the mind. So when the mind is hooked with the taste in Ruchi, then what is born? Then born is Dhritavratam, first of all. Right? Dhritavratam. Dhritavratam here refers that the taste, right? When the mind gets the taste, then the mind becomes fixed up, Dhritavrata, in his vows to execute Krishna Vashana. That is the stage of Asakti. That is the stage of Asakti. So therefore the Ruchi, when the mind is married, Agastya is married to Isidekshana, right? So then married to the taste, then born is the firm vow, Asakti. And then that Asakti gives rise to further son. What is that? That son is described as Dhridachyuto. Dhridachyuto is attachment. Dhridachyuto refers to firm Krishna consciousness devoid of attachment to other processes like Garma Jnana. One was Asakti. Now that Asakti, then a person from Asakti is born Krishna consciousness which is devoid of attachment to other processes like karma and jnana. Right? So dhrita means attachment and chuta means devoid of. So asakti leads to Krishna consciousness devoid of karma and jnana. Dhrita means attachment. So there is no attachment to karma and jnana. Dhrita, chuta. From Ruchi comes the Asakti. Asakti has a further son. From where the son was born. Agastya was married to the daughter of Malayadhvaja. From her the son was born, whose name was Dhritachyuta. Actually it's a Dhritavratam or Dhritachyuta. Sage Agastya married the first born daughter of Malayadhvaja who had firm vows. Okay, so in whom one son Dhritachyuta was born. Dhritachyuta had Idmida as his son. Right. Right. So that is the quality, not the son as such. Right. The Ruchi had the quality of firm vows, naturally. It was not, I mistakenly said that it's the sun. But the Ruchi, which has the, because there's the taste, with the Ruchi, which has the quality of Dhritavrata, right, that leads to the sun as Dhritachyuta. So one who is the stage of Asakti, Dhritavrata, he has his Krishna consciousness, which is without attachment to other processes. Dhritachyuta, that is the meaning of Dhritachyuta. And from Dhritachyuta, there is born another son, Idmavaha. Right? Idmavaha here in reference to a son who executes the religious duties very, very carefully. Right? One who brings the fuel for the sacrifice, that is the literal meaning of Idmavaha. Idmavaha means one who carries firewood for sacrifice. So it means surrender to Guru. It means surrender to Guru. Therefore, complete surrender to Guru is born at this stage. After a person has asakti and is Krishna consciousness is devoid of attachment to karma and jnana, then his firm surrender to Guru manifests. That is idmavaha dasan. Okay, so up to verse 32, the descendants of Malayadhvaj daughter, which was Asitekshana, has been described. It's 5-6 verses, important section. So another section begins, which is Malayadhvaj and Vidarbhi, they retire to the forest. So, someone can read the translations.
After this, the great saintly king Malayadhvaja divided his entire kingdom among his sons. Then, in order to worship Lord Krishna with full attention, he went to a solitary place known as Kulachala.
Okay, so now their retired life is being described. So, for what purpose Malayadhvaj or the saintly, who is the spiritual master, right, who is in guiding, for what purpose he took, he retired, so that he can worship Krishna with full attention, right? So that's the actually purpose of taking to renounce the order of life. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, Nishchinte Krishna bhajiva eita karane unmadeka rila teha sanyasa grahane. Right? When Sarup Damodar Goswami takes sannyas, the reason is nishchinte Krishna bhajiva eita karane, that without any undue anxiety I'll worship Krishna. Therefore he took sannyas. This is Madhya Lila 10.107. Right? So it's similar for that purpose only. Here the spiritual master or the saintly king, right, Malayadhvaj, he retired to worship Krishna with full attention. So he went to a solitary place. Right? So then Prabhupada gives a very balanced purport. He says, disciple should execute Krishna consciousness, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and when his devotional service matures, then only he can take to solitary bhajan. Otherwise he should not. And then he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, those who take up solitary bhajan for the sake of pratishtha, right? Then they only are cheating themselves. Guru text 34. Hitva grihan sutan bhogan vaidarbhi madirekshana anvadha vata pandyesham
Just as the moonshine follows the moon at night, immediately after King Malayadhvaja departed for Kulachala, his devoted wife, whose eyes were very enchanting, followed him, giving up all homely happiness despite family and children.
So the Malayadhvaja is departing for Kulachal, right? This Kulachal is like he is going toward the mountain or Himachal, you know, as people go towards the north, right? So again Prabhupada says, he makes that when a spiritual master retires and goes for Nirjan Bhajan in his mature stage, then some of the advanced devotees should go with him and serve him in his personal service. So here King Malayadhvaj, who was the spiritual master or the husband, he goes and the wife follows. So in spiritual context, some of the disciples should serve. Right? When Madhavendra Puri was performing his Nirjan Bhajan, Ishar Puri served him. And therefore, it's a We'll see a very important purport also in this context, just few things ahead. Yeah, so Ishwar Puri achieved the complete perfection just by the service of spiritual master. Similarly, here in Vanaprastha life, she is going and serving, and she will achieve the perfection by serving the king. Right? And another important term is Madhirakshana. Right? The last paragraph Prabhupada describes the word Madhirakshana is also significant. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained in his Sandarbha that the word Madhira means intoxicating. If one eyes become intoxicated upon seeing the deity, he may be called Madhirakshana. Right? So that's a very beautiful meaning. Well, eyes are intoxicating. So Queen Vedarbhi's eyes are very enchanting. Just as one's eyes are Madhirakshana when engaged in seeing the temple deities. Tatra Chandra Vasanama Tamrapanni Vatodaka Tatpunya Salila Nityam Ubhyatratmano Brijan Kandashtibhir Mulapale Pushpapanna Stanodaka Vartamana Shanair Gatra Karshanam Tapa Astita.
In the province of Kulachala, there were rivers named Chandravasa, Tamraparani, and Vatodaka. King Maladhwaja used to go to those pious rivers regularly and take his bath there. Thus he purified himself externally and internally. He took his bath and ate bulbs, seeds, leaves, flowers, roots, fruits, and grasses, and drank water. In this way, he underwent severe austerities. Eventually, he became very skinny.
Bulbs are kand. You know, they look like bulb. See in the kand, they look like the bulbs. Kand. So anyway, the austere life of the king, the husband of Ishitekshana, right? Or it is. Yeah, husband of it is Malyadhwaj. It is the Malyadhwaj who goes and Vidarbhi, the husband of Vidarbhi. So now we have come back after describing that 32, the daughter of their daughter descended ended. Again the story goes back to Malyadhwaj. Malyadhwaj and Vidarbhi. So they both are retired now. So now the Malyadhwaj is performing various austerities and is eating very frugally. By performing tapasya, his senses came under his control. And this purport is extremely important. Someone should read the purport very clearly.
We can definitely see that to advance in Krishna consciousness, one must control his bodily weight. If one becomes too fat, it is to be assumed that he is not advancing spiritually. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur severely criticized his fat disciples. The idea is that one who intends to advance in Krishna consciousness must not eat very much. Devotees used to go to forests, high hills or mountains on pilgrimages, but such severe austerities are not possible in these days. One should instead eat only prasad and no more than required. According to the Vaishnava calendar, there are many fasts such as Ekadashi and the appearance and disappearance of days of God and his devotees. All of these are meant to decrease the fat within the body so that one will not sleep more than desired and will not become inactive and lazy. Overindulgence in food will cause a man to sleep more than required. This human form of life is meant for austerity, and austerity means controlling sex, food intake, etc. In this way, In this way, time can be saved for spiritual activity and one can purify himself both externally and internally. Thus, both body and mind can be cleansed.
Right, so Prabhupada gives the important purpose over here in importance of performing austerity tapasya. 37. Shitoshnavata Varshani Shutpipase Priyapriye Sukadukheti Dundane Ajayat Samadarshana.
Through austerity, King Maladhvaja in body and mind gradually became equal to the dualities of cold and heat, happiness and distress, wind and rain, hunger and thirst, the pleasant and the unpleasant. In this way, he conquered all relativities.
Okay, so in this way, he by performing austerity, he controlled the senses and he also Ajayat Samadarshana, he also conquered over the dualities. That means he was not affected by the dualities. And Prabhupada quotes in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Arjuna to conquer all relativities through tolerance, right? Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, that Prabhupada quotes. And second paragraph, Prabhupada says, the common man has to undergo much austerity to become equipoised before dualities. And then further Prabhupada says that how in this age it is very difficult to leave home and go to forest, as Prabhupada wrote in the previous purport. And go to Himalayas or Kulachal or Himachal, Prabhupada says, you know, like Himalayas or Kulachal. It's very difficult to go, but one can easily attain this by performance of Bhakti Yoga. Right? Bhakti Yoga will automatically liberate a person from the dualities of life. Can you see that? In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is the center and Krishna is always transcendental. So last 4 or 5 lines, someone read. Once engaged in Bhakti Yoga.
Once engaged in the Bhakti Yoga process with all sincerity, one will have no chance of falling down. Even if one falls down, there is no loss. One's devotional activities may be stunned or choked for the time being, but as soon as there is another chance, the practitioner begins from the point where he left off.
Okay, so remember, although Prabhupada says, you know, such severe austerities cannot be performed, but then what does Prabhupada say? Once engaged in the Bhakti Yoga process with all sincerity, means what? Bhakti Yoga also has austerity within. As Prabhupada writes in purport of 36, according to Vaishnava calendar, there are many fasts, such as the Kadashi and the appearance and disappearance. They are meant to decrease the fat. Right? So one should at least perform the austerities of Bhakti Yoga. So although Prabhupada says, you know, such austerities are difficult, one should perform Bhakti Yoga only. Right? Doesn't mean that austerities are negated over here. One may not be able to perform space-aware austerities, but at least the austerities which are recommended, one should try to perform as much as possible. Right? Just like I am just sharing one small example. Like some devotees, difficult for them to fast fully. Right? So because of some physical ailment, etc. Right? So they can have simple, you know, whatever is the minimum required. But sometimes we have seen, you know, that some devotees who can't fast fully, they wait for the Rajbhog Mahaprasad on fasting days. And they want to have a feast on that day. Okay, so the principle is austerity. Right? Now you cannot do austerity because of some ailment, then still have something austere and minimum to go on. Right? But then the mind cheats us. The mind says, you know, you cannot do this. Bhakti Yoga is to be performed. Right? Austerity I cannot do. Right? So thinking the mind cheats. So person goes into the realm of sense gratification. Even the days which are meant for performing austerity, one cannot perform full austerity, he can perform some austerity. But mind cheats and takes the person away. And often, I mean, it's observation I have seen that on fasting days people wait because there are not many candidates for Rajbhog Mahaprasad and other prasad. Fasting days people wait, like when will that come? some people say Mahaprasad should not be wasted. So I have to take care of that also, right? So many such reasons could be there, which the mind cheats a person. 38. Tapasa vidya pakva kashayo niyamerjame yuje brahmanya atmanam vijitakshani lashaya.
By worshipping, executing austerities and following the regulative principles, King Maladhwaja conquered his senses, his life and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the Supreme Brahman, Krishna.
Okay, so he became fixed on Brahman. And Prabhupada says, although Brahman may refer to Brahma Jyoti, but for Vaishnavas, Brahman refers to Parabrahman, Krishna. Read the translation.
In this way, he stayed immovable in one place for 100 years by the calculations of the demigods. After this time, he developed pure devotional attraction for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and remained fixed in that position.
Okay, so he stayed immovable in one place for 100 years of the demigods. That is 36,000 years of earthly years. And Prabhupada says, Bahunam janma namande jnanamam mam prapadyate. Right? The living entity, after many, many births, right? This is not a small duration, Prabhupada says. Therefore, living entity, after many, many births, come to this point where he can fix his mind, or he can understand that Vasudev is everything. And then Prabhupada quotes the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita in the purport. Also, as said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarv Dharma Krit Hai. This is Madhya Leela 22.62. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Drid Nishchay Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarv Dharma Krit Hai. When one comes to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, by worshipping or by rendering devotional service to Krishna, one actually becomes perfect in all respects. Right? So therefore, he becomes perfect and he's become fixed in that position, as said in the translation. So, next 40, read the translation.
King Maladhwaja attained perfect knowledge by being able to distinguish the super soul from the individual soul. The individual soul is localized, whereas the super soul is all pervasive. He became perfect in knowledge that the material body is not the soul, but that the soul is the witness of the material body.
Right. So, important thing, he realized that this body is a field of activity is different. The soul is different and the super soul is different. Right. So, Prabhupada describes in the purport that materialists, what do they consider? They consider body to be everything. They only realize the field. Mayavadis realize that there is a field and there is a player in the field. Mayavadis realize. But the devotees realize that there is a field, there is a player in the field and there is a referee also in the field. Right? So the materialist is this field is everything. Right? This body is gone, everything is gone. But no, the player goes on playing. And the referee is also witnessing. Right? So that's the higher realization. So therefore the devotees, they have the complete understanding of the game of life. Right? Others only understand partially. So that is, yes. I don't know that demigods list for much longer. Yeah. Yeah. We have to just see that how demigods also differ quite long. Looks like. I think they live for quite long time, demigods. So it may not be just as such, there are 100 celestial years. Okay, 41. Read the translation.
In this way, King Malayadhwaja attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state, he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By means of such enlightening transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision.
Okay, so now, he reached such a stage where he was being directly instructed by the Supreme Lord from within the heart. Right? So then Prabhupada describes in the last 7-8 lines, when one is trained by the spiritual master according to regulative principles of devotional service and is situated on the platform of spontaneous attachment for the Lord also gives instruction from within. Tesham satad yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. This line is important. This distinct advantage is obtained by a liberated soul, where he is directly receiving guidance. So no one should think that I am being guided directly by the Lord. Right? So Lord may give us some inspiration and intuition, but we should confirm with the senior devotees at our stage. But the liberated soul, Prabhupada says, this is a distinct advantage for a liberated soul, where he receives direct instruction from the Lord. 42, read.
King Malayadhwaja could thus observe that the super soul was sitting by his side and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the super soul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities.
Okay, so now he could see the super soul in the heart and the individual soul sitting side by side, it's mentioned. Right? And then, since both were together, there was no need of separate interests. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada talks of that in the purport, that the devotee sees that there is no difference between his interest and the Supreme Personality of Godhead interest. That is the meaning of Sarva Khalu Idam Brahman. Prabhupada says, when the devotee reaches such a stage where his interest and the Supreme Personality of Godhead interest is the one and the same, right? And he can see that Prabhupada says, this material world is also spiritual world. He can see that energy is not different from energetic. Like he gives the meaning of Sarva Khalu Idam Brahman. When he can see that everything comes from the Supreme Lord and is not different from him. Material world is also non different from spiritual world, Prabhupada says. Right? Very beautiful line, Prabhupada, if you see in the middle of the purport. In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world. Right? That is the vision which was obtained by King Malayadhwaja.
The daughter of King Vidarbha accepted her husband all in all as the supreme. She gave up all sensual enjoyment and in complete renunciation followed the principles of her husband who was so advanced. Thus she remained engaged in his service.
Right. So now this is the new section beginning. So now till now 33 to 42, these 10 verses we studied the spiritual practices of Malayadhwaja. And now, the dutiful nature, right, in the spiritual practice of Malayadhwaja, now the services of his queen as a disciple, the spiritual practices of spiritual master who was very realized, that was discussed. Now the service of the disciple, the attitude of King Vidarbhi, her services will be described in the next 9 verses, this 43 to 51. So therefore, she gave up all kind of sensual enjoyment and followed the principle of her husband. Premna aparyacharadhitva. So out of her love, she accepted her husband and followed his ways. Thus she remained engaged in his service. So figuratively, King Malayadhwaja is the spiritual master and his wife Vidarbhi is the disciple, as we already discussed. 44.
The daughter of King Vidarbha wore old garments and she was lean and thin because of her vows of austerity.
Since she did not arrange her hair, it became entangled and twisted in locks. Although she remained always near to her husband, she was as silent and unagitated as the flame of an undisturbed fire.
So she was, now this is very important, again she has been described as Bhavav Upapatim Shanta. Now because she followed the way, she was now as spiritually exalted as her husband. Upapatim means very close to husband, but still little lower, right? Because she is a follower, right? Therefore she is referred to as Upapatim. And Shikashantam Imanalam, another beautiful comparison, she was silent and unagitated as a flame of undisturbed fire. Where do you see such undisturbed fire? The Vishnu Thakur says it is like the flame of the coal. That coals are red hot. They are undisturbed fire. So she was without any smoke. Right? So she was also, she had become fiery, but she would not disturb her husband with her demands. There was no smoke as such. Right? So 43, right? 43 are done. This is 44th? 44th. So, and Prabhupada says, initially there may be smoke sometimes, Prabhupada describes. Right? So, when one begins to burn firewood, there may be a smoke. But later, only there is only undisturbed. Here Prabhupada says, undisturbed fire means without any smoke. Vishnu Thakur also says, it's like the coal is burning hot. Anyway, basically Prabhupada says there may be some smoke in the beginning, some disturbance. Even when the coal is burned, there is a smoke in the beginning. But then it becomes undisturbed. If one tolerates. Right? So therefore, since both and husband and wife were fixed on tolerating all the difficulties, they remained undisturbed. So therefore, the way to remain undisturbed is to actually tolerate and not to see that the disturbance go away. Okay, read ahead.
The daughter of King Vidarbha continued as usual to serve her husband, who was seated in a steady posture, until she could ascertain that he had passed away from the body.
Okay, so also Prabhupada in the last verse also talks about the second paragraph, Chirvasa. She used to wear old garments. She remained very austere. There was no question of mating, right? So all those tapasyas of Vanaprastha life is described by Prabhupada also. And Prabhupada says her hair, she would not comb her hair. And if you see, in the towards the last 7-8 lines of the purport, Prabhupada says hair combing is one of the main businesses of a woman. But in the Vanaprastha life, she doesn't take care of her hair. So the hair becomes tangled in knots and all that. Right? So all the austerities of she followed all the austerities of Vanaprastha life. Vidarbhi, who was the Puranjan previously. Yes, 45th, you already read. Yes. Right? So therefore she continued to serve her husband who left his body also. He was like kind of sitting in a steady posture. So only when, you know, she started massaging his feet, she realized the feet are cold. Right? So this is like something very important is mentioned. That she would not even talk to her husband. No, she would just keep serving. Like if she would come and talk, then she would understand before even serving. Right? So like she would not even talk, and he was like sitting or something, and she came and without talking started massaging his feet. Right? Or he was lying down or something. So therefore, like she was serving her husband very steadily without even disturbing her husband a little bit. She would not even demand attention. That kind of service she was rendering. Right? Very dedicated service. So only when she started serving him by touching his feet, she realized the feet are cold, and then she realized. So therefore Prabhupada say, thus she did not stop rendering service until she could ascertain that her husband has passed away. Okay? That means even after he has passed away, she was serving. Nonsense. Yes, 46.
While she was serving her husband by massaging his legs,
She could feel that his feet were no longer warm and could thus understand that he had already passed from the body. She felt great anxiety upon being left alone. Bereft of her husband's company, she felt exactly as a deer feels upon being separated from its mate.
Okay, go ahead.
Being now alone and a widow in that forest, the daughter of Vidarbha began to lament, incessantly shedding tears, which soaked her breasts and crying very loudly.
Okay, so she started lamenting and crying, and Prabhupada gives a purport that when the spiritual master passes away, the disciple should also cry exactly like the queen was crying. Disciple should also cry and shed tears in separation. And then Prabhupada says, no, this is like the sign of attachment or gratitude as such. This is not like, you know, many people cry out of ignorance of the bodily platform. That is not being encouraged as such. You understand? So, those who the scriptures condemn the crying out of ignorance. But still, a person is crying out of attachment and without being overwhelmed. Right? But because a person feels separation, that crying is not condemned. If that crying is not there, then a person is hard-hearted. Right? So crying out of ignorance is condemned. Right? But if a crying out of softness of the heart, feeling emotion, that is not condemned. Other if a person doesn't cry, that is condemned. So one has to understand that. And then Prabhupada says, of course, the spiritual master and disciple are never separated, because the parampara of Vani continues. They stay, right? Through Vani, the disciple always associate with the spiritual master. Yes, 48.
Oh, best of the kings, please get up, get up. Just see this world surrounded by water and infested with rocks and so-called kings. This world is very much afraid, and it is your duty to protect her.
Right? So then Prabhupada says how when Acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage. And in the middle of the first paragraph, when the Acharya disappears, rogues and devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principle in the name of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists and so on. And so therefore he's saying that now since you have left, the world will be unprotected, so many rogues will come forth. And the Prabhupada talks of toward the last 5-6 lines that how the Krishna consciousness movement at the present, you know, is trying to protect the world in this way from all the rogues. 49.
That most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in that solitary forest. Thus the tears rolled down from her eyes.
Yes, go ahead.
She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband.
Okay, so so she now prepared to for sahamaran or sati. She prepared herself. And Prabhupada says in the second paragraph beginning, this indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devotee disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. Right? Or in other words, Prabhupada says, last three lines, in other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. Right? So that is like the significance of sati for the disciple. Should be prepared to lay down his life to carry out the instruction in the mission of spiritual master. Okay, so like that is up to here, or you can say up to verse 51st. These are the duties of a disciple, which Vaidarbhi very beautifully highlights through her own example. So now the last section of this chapter is Vaidarbhi takes instructions from Avigyat. Right? Avigyat. Avigyat. Avigyat means unknown. So the Paramatma, right, who is generally unknown to the conditioned soul, the Paramatma instructs Vaidarbhi when she is overwhelmed. That is the last section. Yes, read.
My dear king, one Brahmana who was an old friend of King Puranjana came to that place and began to pacify the queen with sweet words.
Okay, so one Brahmana, old friend, so is referred to all Paramatma. So Prabhupada says, if you see the somewhere in the middle of the first paragraph, when one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So when one is now, whether he is resolved, he wants to follow the ways of her husband, the vows of her husband. So Prabhupada says, as one becomes serious in these vows, it is as good as seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, Krishna also says, there is any verse in Bhagavad Gita? Any similar verse? Paramatma Samahita, what is that verse? Huh? Yeah, Jitatmana Prashantasa Paramatma. Like when one has a firm vow, he has conquered his mind and or firmly resolved to execute the vows, then he is like seeing, right? It is like meeting Paramatma, or that's what Prabhupada talks of. Okay, so again, if you see the third paragraph. Okay, so now, first of all, second paragraph, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Lord appeared as Paramatma, as not in his original form as Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Srila Vishnu Thakur remarks that unless one is very highly elevated in loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot see him as he is. Right? He appeared as Paramatma means, first of all, the Lord, one can see that the Lord is guiding, giving instruction. One may not be able to see the beautiful face of the Supreme Lord, but one can first hear his voice. That is the, you know, the realization of his voice will come before his beautiful face. Right? That is pointed in the second paragraph. Then in the third paragraph, Prabhupada says, in conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
The Brahmana inquired as follows. Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me.
Yeah, so Paramatma is speaking. She can hear the voice of Paramatma. That previously also you have consulted me many times. So Prabhupada says, this kind of consultation of Paramatma actually becomes clearer when one becomes actually purified in one's heart. Right, when one becomes purified in one's heart. And then Paramatma as Chaitya Guru, the Supreme Lord guides the conditioned soul within and without, within as Chaitya Guru, without as the instructing and the initiating spiritual master. So that Prabhupada describes in the first paragraph.
The Brahmana continued, my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world.
So this is how a living entity falls down into the material world, Prabhupada says in the fourth line of the purport. And then also Prabhupada gives this verse from Prem Vivivart. Krishna Bahir Mukha Haya Bhoga Vancha Kare Nigatstha Maya Tare Jhapati Adhare. Right? So as soon as the living entity turns his face away from Bahir Mukha, away from Krishna, then he is captured by Maya. Yes, go ahead.
My dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans.
we live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home.
Okay, so here the example, just like the example of tree, two birds we have already heard, right? Two birds are there. And here the example of the two birds here are called as two swans. Right? Two swans. Yes, go ahead.
My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic and not seeing me. You have been traveling in different forms throughout this material world, which was created by some woman.
Okay, so again, now the Paramatma, who is Avigyat, is instructing that you have been just wandering the material world created by Kayachin Nirmitam Striya, right? The desire to enjoy is centered around woman. Yes, 56.
In that city, the material body, there are 5 gardens, 9 gates, 1 protector, 3 apartments, 6 families, 5 stores, 5 material elements, and 1 woman who is lord of the house.
Okay. So again, Paramatma is instructing, giving another allegory, and then he's explained what are these things. Right? What is the 5 gardens and 9 gates? All explained again. The subsequent verses. Read.
My dear friend, the 5 gardens are the 5 objects of sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air which passes through the 9 gates. The 3 apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The 6 families are the aggregate total of mind and 5 senses.
Okay.
The 5 stores are the 5 working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the 5 elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge.
Go ahead.
My dear friend, when you enter such a body along with the woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. Because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions.
Go ahead.
Actually, you are not the daughter of Vidarbha, nor is this man, Malayadhwaja, your well-wishing husband. Nor were you the actual husband of Puranjani. You were simply captivated in this body of 9 gates.
Right, so read the last paragraph in this verse.
In this verse, the word Suhrit, well-wisher, and Tava, your, are very significant. One's so-called husband, relative, son, father, or whatever, cannot actually be a well-wisher. The only actual well-wisher is Krishna himself, as Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam.
Okay, go ahead.
Next verse, Prabhu.
Yeah, next.
Sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency, and actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I am trying to explain our factual position.
Go ahead.
My dear friend, I, the super soul, and you, the individual soul, are not different in quality, for we are both spiritual. In fact, my dear friend, you are qualitatively not different from me in your constitutional position. Just try to consider this subject. Those who are actually advanced scholars who are in knowledge do not find any qualitative difference between me and you.
Okay, so the Lord is saying that how you are qualitatively one. Right? So this is not Mayavadi philosophy. Upad explains, Right? But this is the qualitative non-difference. It will be further explained also. Yes. No, basically that is a spiritual storyline. Now it comes back to the allegorical storyline. You understand, you're mixing the two lines. Well, he is saying that now Paramatma tells this is not your well-wishing husband, right? So that is one storyline goes over there. There is a parallel. Yeah, there is another line. You are mixing the two lines. So now there is a family line, but the husband represents. So he is not talking in terms of the spiritual, you know, that he has nothing to do with you or something, but he is talking of the in terms of family relationships. In family relationships, you know, now if the husband has died, a wife is lamenting. If the wife is only lamenting for the body, then he said, don't consider his husband, it's all this illusory relationship. But if the wife is lamenting that my spiritual master or my, you know, person who instructed me has passed away, then her lamentation is not false. But that she has to come out of the lamentation still. You understand the point? So in this way, that is mainly from the, so you know, the bodily perspective is being said. Over here, then, so Paramatma is guiding her to come out of the bodily perspective and see things spiritually. Sixty-third. We already, yeah. There is no difference. The qualitative non-difference is being pointed out. 63rd. You have read 63rd?
No.
Yeah, read 63rd.
As a person sees the reflection of his body in a mirror to be one with himself and not different. Whereas others actually see two bodies. So in our material condition, in which the living being is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity.
Okay, so herein Prabhupada described that there is a although there is qualitatively non-difference, but quantitatively there is a difference, right? So that is described by Prabhupada in the purport. You see in the fifth or sixth lines, Prabhupada talks about giving the example of sun and the reflection. So sun is reflected variously. Prabhupada says, as far as the brilliance is concerned, there is brilliance both in the original sun and in the reflection. But the reflections are small, whereas the original sun is very large. Vaishnava philosopher conclude that the living entity is simply a small sample of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively they are one, right? So, but there is a quantitative difference. And then Prabhupada says, a few lines ahead, this non-difference refers to qualitative oneness, for it was not necessary for the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality, to remind the conditioned soul that is not one in quantity. So here is just talks of the non-difference. Said it was not necessary to tell the living entity that there is a difference in quantity, for it is anyway understood that is being indicated. And then Prabhupada further goes to describe a few lines ahead, there is a difference between lipt and alipt. So this purport describes many distinctions between Atma and Paramatma, right? So first of all, that the Supreme Lord has unlimited brilliance, the living entity has small, quantity is small. Then lipta and lipta means the Supreme Lord is always uncontaminated, while the living entity is subject to contamination. Right? Then further few lines ahead, it is described, for the Supreme Lord there is no difference between the body and the soul, but for the conditioned living entity there is a difference. Then again, in the next paragraph beginning, it is described that the Supreme Lord is present in everyone's body, where the living entity is present only in one type of body. Right? So in this way, in this purport, many, many important differences have been described between the spirit soul and the individual soul. and also with this Vishnu Puran verse, Ek Desha Sitasya Agner, describes how the living entity is but one of the energies of the Supreme Lord, while he is the energetic. Yes, go to 64.
In this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction.
Okay, again now this verse described the two swans. Evam sa manaso hamso hamsena pratibodhita. But one swan is the disciple, other swan is the instructor. This is the difference. Again, there is another difference being pointed out. Right? And Prabhupada says, here it is clearly stated, hamso hamsena pratibodhita. The individual soul and the super soul are both compared to swan because they are white or uncontaminated. So the swan refers to that both are uncontaminated. One swan, however, is superior and is the instructor of other. Whereas the inferior swan is separated from the other swan, he is attracted to material enjoyment. He is the cause of his fall down. When he hears the instruction of the other swan, he understands his real position and is again revived to original consciousness. Right? So that is explained. And the last verse.
My dear King Prachini Barhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus, I have described the story of Paranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization.
Okay, so now Narada Muni says, Narada Muni is saying that do not simply think this to be a story. On the pretext of telling a story, I have given spiritual instruction to you indirectly. The important thing is parokshena pradarshitam. Parokshena pradarshitam. You show the reality indirectly through some stories. Right? And the parokshavad rishaya paroksham mam cha priyam. There is a verse in 11th canto that many sages speak indirectly and through various stories. And Lord says paroksham mam cha priyam. This indirect way of, you know, trying to preach to a living entity is actually a dear approach to me. It's a bona fide approach. This is parokshavad. So this indirect expression to teach a living entity through the story of somebody else. You know, many living entities are able to get the message more effectively than they would have gotten directly. Right? Because living entity out of his false ego can't directly take the lessons. Right? So as Prabhupada also talks about this, Paroksha Priya Ivahi Deva, the words the Veda describes, Paroksha Priya Ivahi Deva. So there are many stories in the Purana that are intended to interest ordinary men in the transcendental subject. But actually these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories with a transcendental purpose. So Prabhupada says all the Puranic stories are fact. They are not stories with a transcendental purpose, but they are historical facts with a transcendental purpose. One should be interested, however, in the real purpose of the story. Right, so one should, you know, even if someone says, you know, this is just a story, but I think the purpose is real, even if someone wants to consider it to be a story, said, but you be interested in the real purpose of the story. Right? Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Right? Parokshena pradarshitam. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Factually, the path of bhakti yoga is the path of hearing directly about the passion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables as this one narrated by Narada Muni. Right? And then all the summary of all the various terms is given, right, toward the end of what each term represents. You see? Is given. जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे।